beginning at verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I became a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I will seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. But be it so. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. For I fear, lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not. Lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text for this installation service is taken from this passage, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, the first part of verse 15. These words, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. May the Lord bless his word. Let us now confess our faith with all believers in every age and place in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And as I read these words, let us also speak them in our hearts in true faith before God. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he arose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Beloved congregation, the Word of God teaches that before a man can serve in the office of elder or deacon, he must possess certain basic qualifications. And these qualifications are listed for us in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. They include things like he must have a desire for the work. He must be blameless. He must be the husband of one wife. He must be vigilant and sober and of good behavior, and given to hospitality, apt to teach, not addicted to alcohol, not violent, not money hungry. He must be not a novice, and so on. And all of these qualifications are very important to have in any Christian, really, but particularly in an office bearer of the Church of Christ. But there is another qualification mentioned in the Word of God, and it's not listed as a qualification as such, but it is certainly a quality that is very good to have in an office bearer of the Church. It's mentioned here in our text. An office bearer of the Church, like the Apostle Paul, must be a man who is willing to spend and to be spent for the congregation which he serves. This was also the desire and the aim of the Apostle Paul. As he writes in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I will very gladly, he says, spend and be spent for you. With the help of the Lord, we want to meditate on the words of our text under this theme, Paul's selfless devotion to the Church of Christ, to the Church at Corinth, rather. Paul's selfless devotion to the Church at Corinth. And we'll consider first the evidence of this devotion, and secondly, the explanation for this devotion. The evidence, and then the explanation. The words of our text, congregation, were written by the Apostle Paul sometime between 55 and 56 A.D. Paul was in Macedonia, possibly in the city of Philippi. Earlier, he found himself in Ephesus, and while he was there, he wrote a letter to the congregation of Corinth, and he told them in this letter that he was intending to visit them. His plan was to sail directly from Ephesus to Corinth, and then from there, he planned to go to Macedonia, and then back to Corinth again on his way to Jerusalem, where he hoped to deliver the collection, the offering that was taken up for the needy saints in that city. But for reasons that Paul doesn't reveal, he suddenly changed his plans. And rather than sail directly to Corinth, he sailed for Troas, hoping to meet with Titus with news from Corinth. And while he was in Troas, Titus did not appear, and Paul was alarmed about this, and he was concerned lest his earlier letter, which was 1 Corinthians, had offended the congregation of Corinth, especially the first six chapters of that letter, which, if you're familiar with the contents of 1 Corinthians, you'll know that those first six chapters are full of rebukes and admonishments, because there were all kinds of things in the congregation of Corinth that were not proper, and Paul addresses them, and he upbraids them for some of these things. And Paul was perhaps concerned that the letter might not have had the desired effect, that the people of Corinth might have been upset with him, and so unable to rest, Paul set sail for Macedonia, and there he hoped to find Titus. And sure enough, he did. Eventually, Titus arrived in Macedonia, and he reported to the Apostle Paul that his letter, 1 Corinthians, had actually been fairly well received on the whole. And the congregation was receptive to his admonishments, and they were resolved to implement the direction that the Apostle Paul had given. But as there often is in every congregation, there were a few who did not appreciate the things that Paul wrote. And they made all kinds of accusations against him. They said that he was very strong on paper, but very weak in person. Some of them attacked him for changing his plans without explanation. And they said that he was fickle and he was indecisive. Some of the radicals among them even questioned whether Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? And so Paul, in order to combat these accusations and to defend his apostleship, he writes another letter to the congregation of Corinth, which is this letter, 2 Corinthians. In this letter, Paul spends a lot of time defending his call as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And his defense consists basically of three arguments. First, he reminded his opponents that Corinth was within the province of his apostleship. He says as much in chapter 10, verse 13. He says, "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to," or we could say within, "the measure of the rule which God hath distributed or assigned to us, a measure to reach even unto you." So Paul here is reminding the Corinthians that their congregation, the congregation of Corinth, is within his measure or within his jurisdiction. A jurisdiction that was assigned to him by God himself. As an apostle to the Gentiles, all of the Gentile churches were under the jurisdiction of the Apostle Paul. And Corinth was included in this. And therefore they should receive him as an apostle of Christ. Secondly, he reminded them of the proofs of his apostleship. And he mentions some of these in chapters 11 and 12. He speaks there about all the things that he suffered for the cause of Christ. Earlier in chapter 12, he spoke of that vision, that revelation that he had of the third heaven. How he saw heaven itself and heard things that were not lawful for a man to utter. That was proof of his apostleship. And in verse 12 of the same chapter, he speaks of performing great signs and wonders. Thirdly, he reminds them of the purpose of his apostleship. And the purpose of his apostleship is not to destroy, but to edify. And that is expressed especially in the words of our text. In verse 14, the verse just before our text, Paul announces that he was coming to visit them a third time. But before he does this, he wants to assure them that he will not be a burden to them. And by that he means he will not ask them for any financial remuneration. He won't ask them for any money, even though that was his right as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He had, as somebody who was devoted full time to the work of the Lord in his church, he had every right to ask for some form of remuneration from the churches which he served. But Paul says, when I come to visit you, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to be a burden to you at all. Because I'm more interested in you than in what you have. What a beautiful mark of a true servant of the Lord, isn't it? And how contrary, how rare this is in so many so-called servants of God today, when all they ever seem to talk about is money and how they can get more of it. But this was not at all within the mentality of the Apostle Paul. He wasn't interested in their money. He says, "I seek not yours, but you." And then we have the words of our text. Hooking into that statement, Paul says, "And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." It's an interesting play on words. I don't know whether it was intended by the Apostle Paul or not. But it's as though he was saying, I'm not asking you to spend money on me. No, no. I will spend on you. Not my money, because Paul had very little in the way of money. But I'm willing to devote my time, my energy, for your spiritual well-being. The word "and" is the first word in our text that could perhaps better be translated as "but." And so the Apostle Paul is forming a contrast to verse 14. In that verse, he stated that it's the duty of fathers to provide for their children. But, he says, as the spiritual father to the Corinthians, he's prepared to go even further. He's willing not only to provide for them, but to spend and to be spent for them. And to underscore this, Paul uses in the original Greek what's called an emphatic pronoun. So literally what he's saying is this. He's saying, I, even I, your spiritual father, an apostle to the Gentiles, appointed and called by Jesus Christ, I, even I, will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I will very gladly do whatever it takes to build you up in the faith. I'm willing to devote all of my energy, all of my time, all of my resources. I'm willing to suffer any inconvenience, even slander if necessary, for you. And I will do this very gladly, with all my heart. Matthew Henry compares Paul to a candle. He says, when a candle is lit, it gives light to all around it. Which is true, of course. In fact, the candle will keep on burning and will keep on giving light until it is completely burned out. Well, this was the Apostle Paul. He was like a candle that was willing to give and to keep on giving until he had nothing left to give. He was willing to do whatever was required. And this wasn't just words. Paul, we would say, put his money where his mouth was. It showed in his life. Consider all the work that the Apostle Paul did in his lifetime. He made 3 missionary journeys, covering thousands of miles by land and by sea. He planted scores of churches. He wrote many letters, several of which became part of the canon of Holy Scripture. And throughout this whole time, he suffered many things. He was beaten 3 times. He was flogged 5 times. Stoned once, imprisoned several times, shipwrecked. He went without food and drink, sometimes even clothing. He was robbed. He didn't have adequate shelter. And according to tradition, he died a martyr's death. Oh, if there ever was a man who spent and was spent for the church of Christ, surely it was the Apostle Paul. And in this respect, the Apostle is an example for every one of us, isn't he? Should this not be true of all of us? Should we not, every one of us, be willing to spend and be spent for the church of Christ? In particular, our own local congregation. Sometimes I think we don't think enough about the local church. The congregation, you know, that we are part of a family. All of us here. Part of a family. We're brothers and sisters. Christ. We worship together. We sing God's praise together. We listen to the Word of God together. We visit one another. We fellowship together. We sit at the Lord's table together. We are a family. And that means that there should be, within our congregation, or with every congregation, a bond of love that unites us together. And where there is that true love in a congregation, there will also be this attitude of the Apostle Paul. This willingness to spend and to be spent for one another. There should be no talk in the local church of things like people saying, well, I've done enough. Let somebody else do it. I notice that that person over there, he really doesn't do an awful lot. Let him do it. Now, of course, we need to be fair and everybody needs to shoulder part of the burden. But where is this attitude that the Apostle Paul had of this willingness to spend and to be spent for the Church of Christ? I say this is an attitude that we all need to strive to emulate, but particularly we who are called to be office bearers. It's especially office bearers that need to learn from the Apostle Paul. As office bearers, we are called to be under shepherds of the flock of God. That is a demanding task. We are servants of the congregation, and that means we are on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. And as office bearers of the church, we should never say, well, I've done enough. We should always be there whenever there's a need. And we should take up our task with joy. We each have a task. The minister has to prepare sermons. He has to do his visits. He has to teach his classes. And he needs to do that with joy. He needs to spend and be spent for the congregation. He needs to pour out his heart and soul for the congregation, for the spiritual well-being of the congregation. The elders must do this too. Their home visits, sometimes, be honest, when it's time for home visits again, it's like, oh, another night out. And I did all of the home visits last year. I accompanied all the elders on all the home visits last year, and it was wonderful. And it really helped me to understand the congregation, at least to begin to understand the congregation. But I tell you, it's tiring. And every Monday night, you go out again, sometimes twice a week. And we did the work. And I'm not saying this to toot my horn or to toot the horn of the elders, but I'm just saying it can be tiring work. We need to remind ourselves we're called to spend and be spent for the congregation. The deacons too. In counting, in collecting, in distributing the offerings and providing whatever material need is necessary in the congregation. We all have duties to perform. We have consistory meetings to attend. We have decisions that need to be made and agendas for synod that need to be gone over. And sometimes it can become so overwhelming and so tiring. Oh, brothers, we need to learn to spend and be spent. This is part of what it means to be an office bearer of the Church of Christ. And we need to be willing to do this even if we go unappreciated. And even if, as sometimes happens in office, even if we are criticized, and even if people complain, it happens. It goes with the territory. They complained about the Apostle Paul. They didn't like his preaching and they didn't care for him as a person and his character and personality. And they had all kinds of complaints about the Apostle Paul. And I think almost every office bearer knows of that. We do our best, but some people don't see the whole picture and they don't agree. And that's okay. There's room for disagreement in the church. There is. We don't all have to agree on everything. That disagreement is not a bad thing in a church. And sometimes office bearers will receive their fair share of criticism. And it's sometimes hard to carry on as an office bearer. There are times when you feel like giving in and throwing in the towel. But a true servant of the Lord will always try to see beyond the criticism. And will always try to see the bigger goal, the bigger picture. And will continue to do his work out of love for Christ, first of all, but also for the congregation that he serves. Well, the apostle was willing to spend and be spent. Now, why was he willing to do this? How do we explain this selfless devotion to the congregation of Corinth? Well, it certainly cannot be because the congregation of Corinth was so nice to the Apostle Paul. It wasn't the case that the congregation of Corinth did so many nice things for Paul that he in turn just reciprocated. And so it was a sort of natural relationship. You do something nice for me, I do something nice for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That wasn't the case here. As I said already, this was a congregation that had a good, sizable number of people in it who were very critical of the Apostle Paul. And Paul had many enemies in the congregation of Corinth. So, what was it that drove him to this statement that he makes here of being willing to spend and be spent for them? Well, we can think of a number of things. We can think, first of all, of Paul's call. This was Paul's calling. Paul's calling as a minister, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, was to spend and be spent for the congregation. You remember how Paul was converted on the road to Damascus? And the Lord said to Paul, "Go thy way." Or he said to Ananias, rather, "Go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This was Paul's calling. It was a calling that came from the ascended Christ himself. And Paul took that calling very seriously. He knew he was called to be a preacher, specifically for the Gentiles, and he took up that work despite all of the difficulties and all of the hardships and all the criticism that he endured, but he took up that work because Christ had called him to this work. And so it should be for every office bearer in the Church of Christ. We do believe, congregation, that when the congregation votes, no matter what the results of the vote are, it can be a majority of 10 or 20 or 30 or 1, doesn't matter. But when the congregation votes, when that voting takes place with prayer and supplication before the Lord, we do believe that that is the Lord's calling. And that the Lord is calling that man specifically for the task to which he was elected. And we need to take that seriously. Whether we are a minister or an elder or a deacon, Christ, the King of the Church, has called us to our offices, brothers. And that alone should create within us this desire to spend and to be spent for the church. But there's another reason why the apostle was willing to spend and be spent. It's because he had a great burden for souls. What did Paul do immediately after he was converted to Christ? Well, he went to the synagogues and he began to preach the gospel, and he began to dispute with the Jews that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And this became the pattern throughout his whole ministry. Whenever Paul entered into a new city, he went first to the synagogue, and there he spoke with the Jews, and he reasoned with them from the Scriptures that Christ was the promised Messiah. And he proclaimed the gospel. He went up to Mars Hill in Athens and gathered all the Greek philosophers around him, and he proclaimed the gospel to them wherever he went. Even on the ship that was about to sink, he proclaimed the gospel of Christ because Paul had a burden for souls. He wanted to see souls saved. He had the heart of Christ in that respect. The heart of God Himself, who takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that men would turn unto Him and live. Oh, does that not come out in Paul's writings? Remember what he wrote in Romans 9, "I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." In the next chapter, Romans 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." In Galatians 4, he says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Oh, this was what motivated the Apostle Paul. He wanted to see Christ formed in the hearts and in the lives of the congregations. This is what drove him. This is what impelled him. This is what caused him to move forward. This is what made him write what he writes in our text, "I'm willing to spend and to be spent for you because I'm concerned for you, for your soul." Should that not also be our motivation as office bearers? What do we serve an office for? Well, I hope that no man will ever serve an office in this church for his own personal profit or pleasure, to look good in the eyes of other people. I hope that in this church and in every church of Christ, that every office bearer will be impelled by a burden for souls in all of their work. The elders in their home visits, the pastor in his preaching, the deacons in their ministration, that our number one and overriding concern must be the souls of the people that God through Christ has placed under our charge. There was a third reason why Paul was willing to spend and be spent. It's because he had a deep love for Christ. Does that not also come out in so many of his epistles? 2 Corinthians 5, I think, is a good illustration of this. "For whether we be beside ourselves," he says, "it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us." Or Philippians 1, verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And a few verses later, he says, "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I do not know, for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And who can forget those words of Philippians 3? "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death." Oh, congregation, the Apostle Paul was a man who was in love with Christ. He was so thankful to Him for opening his eyes to see the error of his ways, for changing his heart, for washing away his sins, even though he was a persecutor of the body of Christ, and giving him the gift of salvation, the prospect of everlasting life. And the Apostle Paul was so full of love for Christ that he was willing to spend and be spent for his people. Oh, do we love Christ like that? Do we as office bearers love Christ like that? Isn't that what should impel us forward? Isn't that what should make us be willing to spend and to be spent for the church? And is that not too much to ask? Has the Lord Jesus not done everything for us? Did He not leave His Father's throne? Did He not assume our flesh and blood? Did He not suffer and die and shed His blood and descend into the very pits of hell? All so that we might be saved. Well, yes, in this respect, the Apostle Paul is only echoing what Christ Himself could say of Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ was also willing to spend and to be spent for His people, was He not? Did He not spend His life? Was He not spent on the cross as the wrath of God bore down upon Him? He was willing to spend and to be spent. Oh, what a gracious Savior. And what a privilege to serve such a Savior as an office bearer of the Church of Christ. And what a privilege it is to serve Him also as a member of the congregation. Because He has done all this for us. Because He was spent for us. Should we not also be willing to spend and be spent for Him? Oh, may the Lord so work this in our hearts, congregation, as office bearers and as members, that together we may be a people who are spending and being spent for one another, for the cause of the gospel, and ultimately for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. We sing together from Psalter 379, stanzas 4 and 5.